This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
You know, usually when we talk about like a culinary centerpiece for a celebration, there is this massive unspoken expectation of just pure exhaustion.
No, absolutely. The exhaustion is basically the main ingredient.
Right. Like, think about it. You decide you want to host a holiday dinner or, you know, a major milestone for your friends. Immediately, the recipe you choose demands a 3-day marinade.
Mm-hmm. And you're hunting down obscure ingredients at 3 different grocery stores.
Exactly. You're waking up at dawn. The chef basically points to a 12-hour roasting time, looks at your sweat and tears, and says, well, there it is. That's how you prove you care.
It is entirely a test of endurance. We have somehow collectively decided that hospitality is measured by the sheer volume of stress the host endures in the kitchen.
Yeah, it really feels binary, doesn't it? Like, you either host a casual, completely forgettable get-together, or you throw a feast that leaves you needing a week-long vacation.
Right. There is no in-between in that mindset.
But then, and this is why I'm so excited today, you step into the world of global home cooking. Specifically, you look at certain traditional comfort foods, and suddenly that whole culinary marathon is just canceled.
It really is. It's so refreshing.
We are looking at a culinary profile today that is honestly a complete paradox. It shatters that entire framework.
It is the absolute definition of a contradiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anyone who loves to cook or even just wants to invite people over without having a panic attack, it's a completely liberating concept.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are so thrilled to have you with us. Today, we have a really fascinating mission. We are exploring a specific, incredibly beloved Korean dish in the noodles category. It's called Jjanchiguksu.
Yes, Jjanchiguksu.
And we are looking at this dish entirely through the lens of you, the listener, a curious home cook outside of Korea. So imagine you were standing in your kitchen right now.
Okay, setting the scene. I like it.
You want to explore Korean cuisine. Uh-huh. You want to bring people together. And you are looking at the fundamental building blocks of this dish.
And it's a very specific, almost restrictive set of parameters we're analyzing today. But those restrictions are exactly what make it so brilliant.
They really are. And the teaser here, the massive contradiction we're about to unpack, is literally baked right into its identity.
Mm-hmm. The name itself.
Right. We are looking at a dish whose name literally translates to banquet. Yet, the cooking parameters we have categorize it as incredibly straightforward.
Like, shockingly straightforward.
Yeah. The difficulty level is universally understood as easy. And the total time required prep and cooking combined is estimated at just 25 minutes.
Which, I mean, that completely upends our standard, very Western-centric definition of what celebration food is supposed to look like.
Okay, let's unpack this right away, because my brain is just really struggling to reconcile these two things.
Sure, let's get into it.
When I hear banquet food, I immediately think of, like, a massive Thanksgiving turkey.
Right, a huge centerpiece.
Or think of a complex layered roast that takes 12 hours of sweating in the kitchen, constantly checking temperatures, panicking about the gravy breaking.
Sweating bullets over a hot stove while your guests are in the other room.
Exactly. But our sources explicitly say that Jjanchiguksu takes 25 minutes. It's easy. I mean, it's like calling a grilled cheese sandwich gala food.
That's a great analogy.
How does that work? Like, how do you serve a 25-minute meal at a dinner party without your guests feeling like you just completely phoned it in?
Well, let's challenge that assumption for a second. What's so fascinating here is how the terminology itself forces us to reframe our entire cultural understanding of hospitality.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's look at the translations provided for this dish. The Korean name is Jjanchiguksu. The most common English translation is literally banquet noodles.
Right. Banquet.
And we even see this carried over into other languages. Like in Spanish, it's known as fideos de banquet. So, across multiple linguistic and cultural borders, the identity of this dish is just inextricably linked to the concept of a grand feast.
I hear you, but again, 25 minutes? I can barely chop all the root vegetables for a standard stew in 25 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Half the time, waiting for a large pot of water to boil takes 10 minutes on its own. So you're talking about maybe 15 minutes of active cooking time. That just doesn't scream grand feast to me.
Right, but that is precisely the point. The term banquet here shifts the focus entirely away from the grueling labor of the chef.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it places the emphasis onto the joy of the gathering itself. In the context of Jjanchiguksu, the celebration isn't, like, validated by the chef's suffering.
Huh.
It's defined by the noodles, and specifically the act of eating them together.
So you're saying the food is facilitating the party rather than the food being the party.
Exactly. Think about the mechanics of an easy 25-minute dish. When a dish takes that little time, it means the person cooking it actually gets to participate in the banquet.
Wait, that's actually a huge paradigm shift.
Right. You aren't trapped in the kitchen, isolated from your guests, stressing over a reduction sauce.
Yeah, trying to pretend you're having fun while you aggressively whisk something.
Yes. For a home cook anywhere in the world, this is a profound psychological shift. It tells you that you can host a meaningful, celebratory gathering without sacrificing your entire day to the stove.
I mean, logically, that makes perfect sense. It is a massive relief to hear, honestly.
Mm.
The pressure to perform in the kitchen can just completely ruin the experience of hosting.
It really can.
But let me push back a little here. If I invite you over for a banquet and I hand you a bowl of noodles that took me 25 minutes, are you really going to feel celebrated?
You will if we connect this to the broader cultural context of what noodles represent.
Okay.
Think about the texture and the physical experience of eating noodles. Noodles, as a culinary category across many cultures, represent continuity, flow, longevity, and comfort.
Right, like the long strand symbolizing a long life.
Exactly. And the texture is key here. It's warm, it's soothing. The act of slurping a warm bowl of noodles is inherently communal.
Yeah, it's not stuffy.
No, it's not stiff at all. It's not formal. It breaks the ice. The banquet is in the shared experience of that warmth and comfort.
Okay, that is a really beautiful way to look at it. It democratizes the banquet. It means anyone can host one on a random Tuesday night in 25 minutes.
Exactly.
But that brings up a really important practical question for someone actually trying to cook this in their own kitchen.
Lay it on me.
If a banquet dish doesn't rely on 12 hours of slow roasting or some complex simmering reduction to build its flavor profile, what exactly is carrying the dish? Because the culinary parameters we're working with paint a highly specific and honestly shocking dietary picture.
The parameters for the ingredients and the taste are incredibly revealing, especially when you consider global expectations.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting. A lot of people outside Korea, when they first think of Korean food, they immediately associate it with intense, vibrant heat.
Oh, totally. Gochujang, spicy stews, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Or they think of hearty, savory barbecue meats hitting a hot grill. But the profile for Jjanchiguksu explicitly categorizes the spiciness level as mild.
That is the first major pivot from what a global novice might expect.
And it gets far more extreme than just being mild. Let's talk about the meat and seafood content. The parameters explicitly state, and I want to make sure I'm getting this entirely correct, there is no pork.
None.
There is no beef. There is no chicken.
Okay, okay.
And there is absolutely no seafood included. Zero.
Yeah, it's a completely clean slate.
It is completely devoid of the heavy proteins we universally associate with banquet centerpieces.
It strips away all the usual suspects.
It really does. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Do it for it.
You have 25 minutes. You have absolutely no meat. You have no seafood to build a complex broth. You aren't using fiery heat or intense spice to distract the palate. Aren't we just eating warm, wet flour at this point?
That is a very cynical way to look at it, but I get it.
I mean, without those crutches, doesn't this just sound like incredibly bland?
It sounds vulnerable, and that is a very different thing from being bland.
Oh, vulnerable. I like that.
Yeah, this raises a crucial question about how we construct flavor, especially for a global audience trying this at home. When you strip away the beef, the pork, the chicken, and the seafood, you are removing the traditional culinary crutches that many cuisines rely on to deliver immediate umami and richness.
You're right. There's absolutely nowhere to hide.
Do aware.
You can't just cover up a mistake or a lack of depth with a heavy meat sauce or a handful of chili flakes. It's like the acoustic version of a rock song.
Yes.
If you strip away the synthesizers and the heavy bass, the melody actually has to be good, or everyone notices immediately.
That's a perfect analogy. The total absence of heavy meats and seafood pushes the culinary focus entirely onto the noodles themselves and whatever subtle foundational elements remain in the bowl.
Which means the texture of those noodles has to be perfect.
Exactly. One of the most common mistakes a home cook can make here is overcooking the noodles. Because they are the star of the show, if they get mushy, the whole dish falls apart.
Right, because there's no chunky stew to hide the mush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It forces the home cook to appreciate clean, delicate flavors. It really is a masterclass in culinary restraint. It's not about brute forcing flavor onto the palate. It's about coaxing out the subtle comforts of a warm, mild broth and perfectly cooked starch.
So it's basically the anti-gimmick food.
It is. And regarding that mild tag, we really cannot understate how crucial this is for a curious home cook outside of Korea.
Tell me more about that.
Well, this dish acts as the perfect non-intimidating entry point into a new cuisine. Think about hosting. If you have guests over, or if you yourself are hesitant about the famous fiery spice levels of some other popular Korean exports, Jjanchiguksu offers a safe harbor.
Yeah, it's comforting.
It is deeply soothing.
It really is the complete antithesis of those extreme eating challenges we see all over the internet.
Yeah.
It's not trying to blow your palate out. It's trying to welcome you.
Welcoming. That's the exact word for a banquet noodle. By keeping the flavor profile intentionally mild and by stripping away heavy meats, the dish becomes universally accessible.
And it doesn't weigh you down.
Not at all.
Think about those heavy meat-laden feats we talked about earlier. After you eat them, all you want to do is go to sleep.
Oh, absolutely. The food coma is a very real thing. The party is basically over the second the plates are cleared.
Right. But this minimalist approach allows you to eat a bowl, feel entirely satisfied by the warmth of the carbs, and still have the energy to actually celebrate.
Exactly. You have the energy to talk, to laugh, to engage with your guests. The food supports the banquet. It doesn't end it.
I can completely see how that appeals to a home cook overseas. If I'm trying a new cuisine, I want to start with something that won't overwhelm my senses or require me to source, like, 5 different kinds of specialty meats from a butcher.
Right. You just want the essence of the comfort.
And the essence here is pure, unadulterated simplicity. But hold on, because the details we have on this minimalist profile lead us to the most confusing part of our entire analysis today.
Uh-oh.
I have been staring at these parameters trying to make sense of this, and I need you to explain it to me.
You're talking about the dietary substitutions, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does this actually mean in practice? The culinary notes we have explicitly give a green light for vegetarian substitute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see where you're going with it.
But we literally just established very clearly that there is zero meat and zero seafood in the profile anyway.
Right.
No pork, no beef, no chicken, no seafood. Why on earth would a home cook need a note giving them permission for a vegetarian substitute for a dish that already lacks all of those things? It's like telling me a glass of tap water is dairy-free.
Yeah, it sounds a little redundant.
It's a complete logical puzzle.
It is a fascinating redundancy, isn't it? On the surface, if you are just reading the culinary data, it seems like a typo, like someone just checked a box by mistake.
That's what I thought.
But if we dig deeper into the practical implications for the global home cook, it actually tells us everything we need to know about how this dish functions across borders.
I am all ears, but I'm going to remain a little skeptical here. Because to me, a meatless dish is already vegetarian. Is this just a lazy recipe note?
Think of it this way. When a culinary framework explicitly flags vegetarian substitute,
yes.
First, for a dish that is already inherently meatless and seafood-free, it is broadcasting a message of extreme structural adaptability.
Oh.
It implies that while there might be traditional base elements, perhaps certain traditional cooking fats or subtle underlying broths.
Oh, like a stock.
Exactly. Often, traditional Asian noodle soups might use an anchovy or kelp base for the broth to get that deep umami flavor.
Which isn't vegetarian.
Exactly. So that note is saying that even if those subtle bases technically require a swap, like changing an anchovy broth to a pure vegetable or mushroom broth, the core identity of Jjanchiguksu is practically indestructible.
Wait, no, let me challenge that. Are you saying the framework is just telling me don't worry about it?
Pretty much.
But if this is a traditional beloved dish with a specific name, shouldn't there be strict rules? If I start swapping out whatever foundational elements I want just to make sure it's strictly vegetarian for my guests, isn't it just noodles in a bowl at that point? Do I lose the authenticity?
That is the genius of it. You don't lose the authenticity because the authenticity of Jjanchiguksu isn't locked away in a secret, rigid list of unchangeable background ingredients.
So what is it locked in?
The identity is in the purpose, the banquet, and the form, the warm noodles. The explicit yes for vegetarian substitutions means the global home cook has permission to adapt.
Wow.
It is a signpost telling you that you aren't going to ruin the spirit of the dish by modifying it for your kitchen.
Okay, I think I'm tracking with you now. It's giving you permission to play. It's telling you, listen, whatever you need to do to make this fit your diet or your guest diets, you can do it, and it will still proudly be Jjanchiguksu.
Precisely. And if you look at the other parameters we have, it reinforces this perfectly. Under allergies to check, it explicitly says not specified.
Right.
Oh, I saw that.
Under religious and dietary restrictions, it again says not specified.
Which, if you think about it, is incredibly rare for a prominent global dish.
Hmm.
Usually, if you look up a traditional recipe, there is a literal laundry list of warnings. Contains nuts, contains shellfish, contains gluten, not kosher, not halal.
Right. And combined with the easy rating and that magical 25-minute cook time, this lack of specified allergens means you have absolute control over what goes into your pot.
That is huge.
Let's put you back in that hypothetical kitchen. You are cooking for a diverse group of friends overseas. Maybe someone has a severe dietary restriction. Maybe someone is strictly vegetarian.
Or vegan.
Yeah. Or maybe someone gets heartburn if they even look at a spicy pepper.
Which is basically every dinner party I've hosted in the last 5 years. It's a total minefield trying to find one thing everyone can eat without a reaction.
Exactly. And this dish threads that needle perfectly. It is incredibly safe, and it is endlessly customizable. You control the base, you control the elements.
It's the ultimate lowest common denominator dish. But, like, I mean that in the most elevated, beautiful way possible. It doesn't exclude anyone.
It is the definition of inclusive food. And that brings us right back to where we started. The name, banquet noodles.
Ferias de banque.
A true banquet, a truly joyous gathering, isn't exclusive. It doesn't test your guests' palates with extreme heat, and it doesn't alienate them with restrictive heavy meats. A true banquet brings absolutely everyone to the table.
And it does it in 25 minutes.
Yes.
I know I keep coming back to that, but I still can't get over it. You could literally be sitting on your couch at 5:00 p.m., decide you want to host a banquet at 6:00 p.m., text your friends, and you would have plenty of time to pull this off, adapt it to whoever's coming, and set the table.
Which completely changes the psychology of the home cook. When the barrier to entry is that incredibly low, you are exponentially more likely to invite people over.
That's so true.
You are more likely to share your culture or to boldly explore a new one because the anxiety and the stress have been entirely removed from the equation.
So when we look at Janchiguksu through the lens of the overseas home cook, it really ceases to be just a recipe. It's actually a tool for human connection.
That's a beautiful way to phrase it. What is so fascinating here is how these very simple, almost clinical data points, easy, 25 minutes, mild, absolutely no meat, no seafood, highly adaptable. They paint a vivid picture of a dish that is practically engineered for connection.
Engineered for connection. I love that.
It doesn't demand your entire weekend. It doesn't assault your senses. It doesn't leave your vegetarian friends eating a side salad while everyone else feasts.
Right.
It just offers a warm, comforting, mild bowl of noodles that allows the conversation and the people to be the star of the night.
It's brilliant. It really is. It takes all the ego out of cooking. You aren't showing off your ability to perfectly sear a highly expensive steak or your ability to balance a complex, fiery, intimidating sauce. You are simply providing comfort.
And in many ways, providing pure comfort without the expectation of praise for your grueling labor is the highest and truest form of hospitality.
I couldn't agree more. So to bring it all together for you listening at home, Janchiguksu banquet noodles is a mild, quick, 25-minute, highly adaptable dish that proves unequivocally that celebration food does not have to be complicated, and it certainly doesn't have to be heavy.
Here.
It is completely devoid of the heavy proteins that weigh down other traditional feasts, relying instead on clean, minimalist comfort. It is the perfect, accessible, and radically inclusive entry point into Korean noodles for any home cook anywhere in the world.
It stands as a testament to the quiet power of minimalist cooking.
It really does. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought to ponder on your own. Think about the foods in your own life that actually bring people together. The meals that you actually end up making, not just the aspirational ones you save to a digital board and never revisit because they're too daunting.
We all have those boards.
We do. Are those go-to meals the most complicated, labor-intensive recipes that leave you exhausted, stressed, and smelling like grease? Or are they the simple 25-minute dishes that just feel like home? Ask yourself, what truly makes a meal a banquet? The rare, complex ingredients in the bowl, or the people you finally have the time, the energy, and the peace of mind to share it with?
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.